saw the flyer that I put on the family page, it's, if you want to entitle this, you could call it Dwell or Indwell. It's basically called thinking about becoming the place of God's inhabitation. Becoming the place of God's inhabitation. To inhabit means to occupy as a place of settled residence or habitation, to be present in. Inhabit. So many times we don't even want God to inhabit us. Too many times God is just somebody we visit on Sunday. Too many times that is it. It's just a place that we go for holidays, special occasions, weddings, funerals. You know, God is, we take him way too lightly. Way too lightly. Habitation, what is a habitation? It's a state or process of living in a particular place. Habitation. We want him to inhabitate in our lives. We want to be his residence, where he abodes, where he dwells, his home. But too many people, and I grew up in church my whole life and experienced it myself. God is just a place that I visit. And you can do that as leaders, as shepherds, as pastors, as lay members, whatever it is. You can catch yourself in that situation where God is just what you do. It's your job. It's just something I do. It's the way I was raised. It's what I do, you know. It's what's inbred in me. But he wants so much more out of us. He doesn't want just a Sunday relationship, a once a week, maybe twice a week relationship. He wants to dwell in your heart and indwell. The God words refers to us as his dwelling place, his temple, his house. Those are the words in the scripture, and I will read those here in a moment. But earlier this week, I was listening to a daily devotion that I listened to, and they were speaking about the mantle of God. And, of course, when I think of the mantle, I think about Elijah and Elisha. The mantle was a sign of the prophets. It was a calling from God. When people saw Elijah's mantle, they knew he was a prophet, and he was a man that spoke for God. Elisha. When Elijah was taken up, Elijah did not die. God took him up. And when he did, his mantle fell back down, and Elisha picked up the mantle and walked in the prophet's calling. And as I was listening to this radio broadcast that I listened to, and I heard God say to me, many times we are only satisfied with the hem of his garment. We run from the mantles. We run from his mandates, his life. We run from the idea of being indwelled with the Holy God. And I'll explain that here in a minute. He says, so many times we just clothe ourselves with just the hymn. I just, you know, I want to come to church on Sunday and just get what I need. Let me just have the hem of the garment, Lord. Just enough to fix what my problem is. And then I'm back out doing my own thing. I don't want to clothe myself with you. I don't want to wear the mantle. But God wants more. He wants all of you. He wants everything. He doesn't want to just dwell within you. He wants to indwell. Well, you're satisfied with just coming to church. You know, just fixing what my problem is, Lord. Half the time when you see people in the altar, that's all they're doing. Is they're just wanting to fix. And then they're back out the door and want to live their lives the way they want to. They want to enjoy things the way they want to. We just need enough. Just enough to get through to next week. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living that kind of life. I require a lot more than just But at times I catch myself just wanting to him. I'm like the woman in Luke 9. And I'll just read the story. It's one we know well. Matthew 9. We'll do Matthew's version. And it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said in herself, I may but touch his garment and I shall be whole. Then Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Just the hem. That's all she needed. That is more than enough, I know. But God desires so much more from us. So much more. Imagine what can be done if we seek more than just him. Imagine what our lives would be like. What the lives of our children would be like. What the lives of our church would be like. What our communities and our state would look like. If we desired more than just the hem of the garment. It requires total surrender. Total submission. Submerging ourselves in him. His word, his will, becoming the place where he not only inhabits and dwells, but he indwells. Yes, I know that we have his Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we are his temple. John 14 and 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. King James Version says we'll make our abode with him. Far back in New Testament, it was prophesied in Ezekiel 36 and 27. It says, I will put my spirit within you. And because I do this, it will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinance. What he was alluding to was the Holy Spirit living in our lives. His Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. And because we have that Holy Spirit living with us, we will desire to do the things of God. But not if we're always coming and just wanting the touch of the hem. Just a little. Just a little. And that's why we go out and we struggle so much with trying to be Christian, or half of us don't even try to be. Some of us are just out there doing what we want to do, and we'll come to church on Sunday because we need something fixed. But if you're struggling, check it. Check your connection. Are you allowing God to dwell but not indwell? Hebrews 3 and 6, New Living Translation says, but Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ Jesus. Now those things are what we have. We have courage. We have hope through Christ Jesus. We have that confidence in what he did. He's our hope. He's my hope for the future. What I know I can have according to his promises and his will. King James Version of that verse says, but Christ as the Son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end? Firm until the end. Confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. What do we put our hope in? Our 2 hours on Sunday? And we walk out the door, and that hope is left here. It doesn't dwell in us. It doesn't indwell us. It doesn't go with us to the next level, to the next day. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, didn't you know that you yourself are God's temple? Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? This is Paul. talking to the Corinthians, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. King James Version says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that your spirit, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" David had the right idea. If you read in Psalms 119 and 11, he said, "Your words have I hidden in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against you." The words will dwell in our hearts if we choose to put them in there. If we choose to make the effort to allow them to indwell us. You just can't read the verse of the day and think that that's going to be enough. No, you got to sit down. You got to study that thing. You got to apply it to your life. You got to dissect that word. Make it real to you. Make it come alive to you. Listen to what Holy Spirit says. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Colossians 3 and 16, Paul encourages them to let the word of God dwell in us richly. I won't read that verse, but he says, the word dwell in you richly. Because Paul knew that you need this word to be able to go each and every day. As Pastor taught a couple of Wednesdays ago, God instructed them to write it on the doorpost. Write it on the doorpost. Talk about the promises and the deeds that the Lord had done for the Israelites to their children. They didn't tell them bedtime stories, Cinderella and whatever. They told them the stories of what God had brought them through that encouraged and grew their faith in God, that gave them a foundation for a relationship with God. But we are not so indwelled with God that we don't. We just stick something in on the video game or on the phone and don't even tell them about Jesus. Don't even tell them about what God has done for you. How many times have we failed to witness even to our own children? Now, I've been talking about dwelling and indwelling, and I kind of want to read the meanings to dwell and indwell. Dwell means to live either permanently or temporarily, and to reside somewhere. And all through Scripture, God desires to dwell within us. And He does, but we have a choice to allow Him to be there, allow Him to stay, to allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to work, to lead and guide us into all truths, even as painful as it may be at times. Excuse me. We still have that choice. But if we will allow God to indwell, I-N-D-W-E-L, indwell, that means it's to exist within, especially as a spirit or a driving force, permanently present. Indwell. Many of us allow dwelling, but we don't allow Him to indwell. And if you look at my photo, when you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, maybe it's going to permeate over everything. It becomes who you are. Not just what you are, who you are. And that's what He desires, especially in these last days. I don't know that I'll live to see the coming of Christ. I may. But I know that I want people to walk and remember who I was as a Christian. Not as a great wife or a great mother. Those things will come along with that always. But that I did this or I did that. I want them to know and remember Jesus. When we say, I want you to see Jesus in me, I want to be Jesus to that extent. I want people to see the indwelling of God within me. He wants possession of. And we are walking that part out day by day. It is a minute by minute and sometimes a second by second decision we have to make to surrender. Is it going to be easy? No. Do you want to give up what you have? Do you want to give up your life? Even some of your dreams? No. Do you want to go and be in God's will? I do. I say that. But when the time comes, boy, that choice can be so hard sometimes when it's not the road you want to take. Or it doesn't look like the road you want to take. Do you want to be dwelled or indwelled? Ephesians 3. And I want to read this in King James, and I want to read it in Amplified, because it gives you such a revelation when you hear both of them, both versions. 3 and 16, and of course all of it's wonderful to read. Well, Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and we'll start at 14. This is King James Version. It says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Lord of our the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the heights and the depth, the length, heights, and depth, and to know the love of Christ." Let's read that in the Amplified. Did you notice that indwelling, that dwelling? Let's read the Amplified version. "For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God, the first and ultimate Father. May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality." Indwelling. The call for the Christian is great. I don't care if you don't sing, you don't preach, you don't teach, to walk this walk out. It's hard. It's difficult. It's hard enough with God just dwelling in you. You've got to choose to let him indwell, have possession, permeate every cell of your body, every thought. And I love that it says your innermost being and your personality. Oh, Lord. Do you know how hard it is to put away years of training in the wrong way? Anger, deception, depression, manipulation, all those things that we've been exposed to, and we've had behaviors that have resulted from those things that happened to us. And some of us are just that way by nature. But anyway, it's personality. It says that is the characteristic patterns of your thinking, your feeling, and your behavior. Look at that. With power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, may God grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with the power through the Holy Spirit. Are you feeling low energy? Spiritually unenergized? Spiritually weakened? Maybe there's an area in our lives where we're just touching the hem. We're not taking on the whole mantle. We're not putting on the whole clothes. We're not wanting all of him. We're just wanting enough to fix it. Fix it, but don't fix me, Lord. That's most of us. Heal me, but don't heal all of me. Notice the woman was made whole. We run from that whole thing. I just want you to fix what's wrong. Lord. But let me live the way I want to live. Let me treat people the way I want to treat people. Let me talk the way I want to talk. Let me drink the way they want to drink. Let me have sex with everybody that walks. Let me put this drug in my body. I don't know what your ism is. I'm just nasty. Let me be nasty to people. What is it? What is it that we don't want God to touch? That we just give me a little, just enough. And then I want to be who I was before. But I want to come back to you when I need help. He's not a genie. That's the way we treat him. It's because we don't mind for him to dwell for a little bit. Because too long, he shows me too many things. And heaven forbid, he gets control of everything. Lord, no, don't, you know, fix this problem over here. Let's turn the light on in this room, but leave that one dark. I made a comment on our page, our thread. We're the house of God. And there's rooms that we have that we don't want God to get into. And we definitely don't want him in that closet of our past, do we? Let's leave that room locked. I had a Christian lady tell me one time in a dream that God took her to a place. And she could go into the place and sit in there and look at memories from the past. It was like a photograph book. But he wasn't allowed in there. He was trying to tell her it's time to face that past. Let me in there. Let me in that room. But she would go in there and she would just sit and look at the photograph book of all the things of the past, all the hurts, the good times, the bad times. But he wasn't allowed in. It's time to open the closets of the past. It's time to unlock those doors. It's time to just reach, stop reaching just for the him. And start embracing the mantles. Start embracing your mantle. Everyone has one. Don't think just because I teach or I sing or whatever we do, that's it. You got a mantle too, baby. You may not be on this stage. You may not be on, you know, over there. You may not be there, but you have a mantle to carry. We all do. Are you going to let God only dwell? Are you going to give him permission to indwell?